Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's like fuel injection when carburetors were still being played for music. So Donald Trump and I spoke a bit before the show in a lengthy interview, and I'm not going to tell you what he said. I'm not going to preempt myself. I will play the entire interview today in two pieces. It's worth your time. If you have interest in what's going on, whether it's Pence, Gingrich, Christie, or another, I'm going to ask you a question. Who should Trump pick for VP right now? Pence, Gingrich, Christie, or another? 855-407-282. That's my phone number. It's the Savage Nation. I'm going to say something that, without giving anything away, because truthfully, he's going to make the official announcement tomorrow morning in Manhattan. He invited me to it, by the way, which I can't be there because I live in the rump of the empire. San Francisco considers itself the advance guard. It's the rump of the empire. San Francisco is the laughing stock. It's the Alimentary Canal's exit of the entire nation. And that's, I mean, I live here because I love the climate. I love the streets. I love the cable cars. It's just the people I can't stand. That's the problem. I don't mean the people who were born here. I mean people like me who came here later. Now, I'm one of the good ones who came here later. I'm one of the law and order types, not one of the rabble garbage men in the streets. So, yeah, I live here. I'm not going to be there tomorrow. But I'm going to be here with you today about, you know, who he's picking. And I want to ask you something. I asked him the first question, which you'll hear shortly, which is, Donald, have you reached a decision on your VP yet? Various media outlets are pointing out to Mike Pence. Is he it? And you're going to find out what he says on the Savage Nation. But I want to say something right now. To me, Pence makes sense. Now, I didn't know him until this week. That's why he makes sense. He is an Eagle Scout. He is a Boy Scout. But I'm going to say something that could be considered somewhat controversial if you misinterpret me, which is often. The reason that I've gotten into trouble over the years is because people misinterpret what I say. So I'm going to lay it out the way I think it should be laid out. Okay, let's assume he picks this straight Eagle Scout, football player, white man as his running mate. Ooh, two white men. We can't have that. Why didn't he pick a Hispanic? Why didn't he pick a woman? Why didn't he pick a tranny? Why didn't he pick a this? Why didn't he pick a that? So I'm only speculating now, and I'm saying if I were on the inside, which I'm not, and I was strategizing who to pick in a time of turmoil, in a time when Obama has turned race relations into a nightmare, the worst race relations in America, not since the 60s, no, you got that wrong. It's the worst race relations between blacks and whites since Reconstruction. Obama has brought us to a verge of another civil war on purpose. This is what community organizers do. Bring it all down, man. So why would Donald Trump, at a time of social upheaval, why would he pick another white male instead of pandering to the mobs, a woman, a this, a that, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-boo? That's if he picks Pence. And it makes sense to me because, well, I said Pence makes sense. That's one line you can write down. I made it up before the show. Because of this. And again, this is what I think is their thinking. It's not my thinking. I'm couching it, so write that down. I think that if the Trump team picks Pence, it's to put out a message of two straight white males to straighten out America. That's what it is. That's exactly what it's going to play like. And let me tell you something. If that's their strategy, I'll tell you why that will play not only with straight white males who will vote for Trump anyway. It will play with women. It will play with minorities who are terrified as to what Obama has done. Because if you think that middle-class Hispanics or middle-class black people want revolution, you're out of your mind. They are more terrified of the street thugs than you are. They've seen them in action. They have lifted themselves up and run away from those neighborhoods. They've run away from them. What do they want? More of them? They want someone to come into town, law and order, straighten them out, straighten the whole country out. They want the Medicare fraud stopped. They want the illegal immigrants kicked out of the country. They want the flood of corruption stopped. And they feel that maybe these guys could do it. That's what I think. Well, you could put it another way. If you want to put it in another way, again, speaking graphically or pictographically, which I often do, you could say he's putting a white picket fence around America. I know that's a loaded statement to most people, but what else shall I say? It's symbolic. White picket fence. What does that symbolize? I'll let you figure it out. And that's why I think it makes sense. Now, personally, I'm opposed to Gingrich. I've said on the air, and I'll say it again. I hope that you hear me. I think Gingrich is a corrupt load of offal. He has nothing to offer to this campaign, in my estimation, that can help it. It can only bring it down. He is laden with baggage. Not only the divorces and the this and the that, but the actual criminal charges that surround Gingrich. He's a terrible-looking man on top of it all. And looks count. Donald Trump's a handsome man, which is why he's gotten where he is. Yes, looks count. Remember how many times I've joked over the years? He who has more hair wins. That's why I used to say if a woman runs, she's liable to win. But in the mail department, your looks are so important. You don't want a blimp like Gingrich. He's old. The point is Trump represents newness. Freshness, non-politician. Why would you pick somebody like Gingrich, who offers nothing of those elements? That's why I say a terrible choice. Christie, another disaster. You see, these men would be very good functionaries within a Trump administration, in my opinion. Gingrich would be a great chief of staff because he knows how to make things work inside government. He can get things done. At least he could get things done. I don't know if this Congress would respond to a Newt Gingrich, by the way. But let's say he knows how the halls of Congress work. Christie, I don't know. You know, he has a mixed record. He's hated in New Jersey by conservatives. He's in favor of illegal amnesty for illegals. He has a very mixed record in New Jersey. He's attractive on one hand, and on the other hand, I'm not so sure. Maybe he'd be a good attorney general, former prosecutor, right, or U.S. attorney, whatever he was. I think he'd be a great great attorney general, frankly. But VP, I'm not sure. First of all, a VP is a useless job. Well, what does it really mean? It's a symbolic job. It's like the Queen. What do they really do? What has Joe Biden done for 8 years? Other than come out and grimace and step on his own words. So, you know, what does it really matter? What matters is the person with the power. And Chief of Staff has far more power than a VP. Attorney General has more power than VP. So, those are my opinions. I want to know what your opinions are. The phone number is 855-107-282. I will play the first part of the Trump interview, not after this break. No, I'm going to milk you for all the TSL I can get. That's an inside joke, but it's true, and that's the way it works. 34 after the hour, I'll play Mr. Donald Trump on the Savage Nation. It's worth your time, believe me. Yes, you'll hear things that you're not going to believe, because I drew him out as those two guys talking again in Alley Pond Park. That's right. He and I have a rapport that always reappears and asserts itself whenever we start to talk. You're going to hear some things which I'm going to discuss afterwards, which will explain a couple of events to you. And I'm going to give you a little tease about something very personal during the interview. In the middle of the interview about Donald Trump's vice presidential pick and his platform positions, all of that stuff, I dared ask him a very personal question. I said, Mr. Trump, are you aware that I won the Radio Hall of Fame Award? Would you be willing to be my presenter in Chicago at the ceremony? Wait until you hear what he says at 34 minutes after the hour. Well, it doesn't come at 34, but it starts at 34, the whole thing. So again, we're going back to the beginning, which is your opinions on this. I've asked them what the platform is at the convention. I've asked you who should be the VP pick. I have some other wonderful things for you today. Wow. I got an email that's so good. And it has to be anonymous. It came from a liberal man about the Jewish boycott. You won't believe this, how Iran is calling for a boycott of all things Jewish. A short time ago, Iran's supreme leader, Grand Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, urged the Muslim world to boycott anything and everything that originates with the Jewish people. In response, Meyer M. Trankman, a pharmacist, out of the kindness of his heart, offered to assist them in their boycott of Jews as follows. He said, any Muslim who has syphilis must not be cured by Salvarsan, discovered by a Jew, Dr. Ehrlich. He should not even try to find out whether he has syphilis because the Wasserman test is the discovery of a Jew. If a Muslim suspects that he has gonorrhea, he must not seek diagnoses because he will be using the method of a Jew named Neisner. A Muslim who has heart disease must not use digitalis, a discovery by a Jew, Ludwig Traub. Should he suffer from a toothache, he must not use Novocaine, a discovery of the Jews, Weidel and Weil. If a Muslim has diabetes, he must not use insulin, the result of research by Minkowski, a Jew. If a Muslim has a headache, he must shun pyrimidon and antipyrin due to the Jews, Spiro and Elledge. Muslims with convulsions must put up with them because it was a Jew, Oscar Liebrich, who proposed the use of chloral hydrate. Arabs must do likewise with their psychic ailments because Freud, father of psychoanalysis, was a Jew. Should a Muslim child get diphtheria, he must refrain from the Schick reaction, which was invented by the Jew, Bela Schick. Muslims should be ready to die in grand numbers and must not permit treatment of ear and brain damage, the work of Jewish Nobel Prize winner Robert Barham. They should continue to die or remain crippled by infantile paralysis, according to the Ayatollah, because the discoverer of the anti-polio vaccine is a Jew, Jonas Salk. Muslims must refuse to use streptomycin and continue to die of tuberculosis because a Jew, Zalman Waxman, invented the wonder drug against this killing disease. Muslim doctors must discard all discoveries and improvements by dermatologist Judas Sen Benedict or the lung specialist Fraunkel, and of many other world-renowned Jewish scientists and medical experts. In short, good and loyal Muslims properly and fittingly should remain afflicted with syphilis, gonorrhea, heart disease, headaches, typhus, diabetes, mental disorders, polio, convulsions, and tuberculosis, and be proud to obey the Islamic boycott put forward by the Ayatollah. Oh, and by the way, he writes, don't call for a doctor on your cell phone because the cell phone was invented in Israel by a Jewish engineer. Meanwhile, I ask, what medical contributions to the world have the Muslims made? Well, let's look at it. The global Islamic population is approximately 1,200,000,000. That is 1,200,000,000, or 20% of the world's population. They have received the following Nobel Prizes, total 7. The global Jewish population is approximately 14 million. That is 14 million, or about 0.02% of the world's population. Jewish people have received the following Nobel Prizes, 1,291. I'll continue when I come back with common sense for the thinking person on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. In a few minutes, you're going to hear Donald Trump on the Savage Nation in one of his only radio interviews of the day. However, I'm going to give you another hint. This just came out minutes ago on Fox News. Pence to abandon re-election bid for governor amid VP speculation. The VP nod may not be official yet, but Indiana Gov. Mike Pence has abandoned his gubernatorial bid, all but assuring he's in line to be Donald Trump's running mate. Republican sources tell Fox News that Pence, who faced a Friday deadline to make a decision, will not run for re-election. Now, of course, this comes to us in the middle of reports that Pence is going to be the pick. And the Trump campaign is insisting to this minute that an official, you know, offering to him has not been made to, or to anyone. And the official announcement will be tomorrow morning at Trump Towers in New York. Now, how Pence was picked is an interesting story. It will no doubt galvanize support from the party's conservative base in some regards, but not in others. He's not going to meet the litmus test of the of the conservative movement who think that they're better than everybody else. You know, the ones who backed Cruz and lost. You know, the geniuses who backed Cruz and lost. They're going to say, well, how dare they pick Pence? Well, he's not, true enough or conservative enough. Well, whatever. We'll see what happens. But at 34 minutes after the hour, I asked Donald Trump the very same question. And wait till you hear his surprise answer on the Savage Nation. But until then, let's talk amongst ourselves. We have a minute. Who do you think he should pick? Who should he pick? Molly on WMAL, 30 seconds or less, fire away.
He's got to get a Texican. He's got to get somebody like Cruz. One of the basic tenets of Christianity is forgiveness. So let's.
But Molly, hold on. But Cruz isn't even in the running.
Okay, but Mr. Trump is about drama, theater, and so on. Myself, having worked in the offices of Jacob Javits, Howard.
All right. So you think he should pick Cruz, but he won't do that. I mean, I'm sorry to disappoint you. He's not even in the running. But I thank you very much. There are other people calling in, like Alan West should be picked. He will not be picked. I'm going to tell you right now, someone is saying Mia Love should be picked. I said that myself. She's wonderful. He won't pick her. Others are saying other things. But when I come back, you're going to hear Donald Trump himself with the only radio interview that I know of today. He chose this show for reasons you're going to hear during the interview. No longer am I marginal. Just understand that. You can kick Michael around for only so long, but you know, after 22 years, suddenly things changed.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Trump, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael, very much.
Well, we know you're way up in the polls, and we hope that you keep climbing, and I really pray to God you can become president and save America. It's all over the media. I don't know if you want to confirm or deny. It says Trump picks Pence. What's the story?
No, I haven't made that decision yet. I'll make it today, probably, or maybe tomorrow. But I'm going to announce it tomorrow at 11, Michael, and you'll be one of the people. Maybe you'll be there even, but... I'll be announcing it in New York City tomorrow at about 11 o'clock.
Okay, very important that we hear this because this is a big, big, big deal. Well, let's go on to other points, Mr. Trump, in the short time we have. Everyone is so thrilled that you came back to this show. And, you know, I'm an honest guy in the media. I kind of say it like I feel. I don't think as carefully as I should somehow. But the fact is, people were saying, hey, where's Donald Trump? Now that he's so popular, he won't come back. He's moved to the center. I said, no, just wait. He'll be back. He's true to his cause. So, again, I have to say, that's what they're saying now all over my Facebook. Thank God Trump is back. And, you know, yesterday you said you're going to build the wall. You confirmed that again, correct?
Oh, 100%. And it's very popular. We put it in the platform. It's in the Republican platform. I don't know if you saw that, but that was sort of one of the things that I'm very proud of. We did something else for the evangelicals, which is going to be fantastic. We're going to get rid of this Johnson change that was made years ago where it takes the power away from evangelicals and others of religion, and you'll see some things happening there that are going to be very good. We have some very good things put in the platform. One of the things put in, though, is the wall. And as far as being back to you, you've been so amazing to me, Michael. Of course I'd be back. I never heard anything. Otherwise, I would have called you five different times already.
You know what it is, Donald? Look, your campaign has gotten so big. You've got so many layers of people. I don't have the desire to trouble you, you know, with calls. But the fact of the matter is I know that you're loyal to this audience. We are your base. We'll always be there for you. And the times right now are so troubled. We are in such troubled times, such dangerous water. I don't want to go into the litany of what Obama's been doing with this police business. All I can say is that unless you win, many of us are afraid this country is over. That's the absolute truth.
Well, Michael, I'm the law and order candidate, and I have a big heart. Believe me, I treat people fairly, but I'm the law and order candidate, and our police are being absolutely treated terribly. You look at what's going on, and you know, they'll take a bad incident or two bad incidents or three, but they don't show the millions of incredible things that take place over the course of a year. And, you know, they're very restricted, and they are very, very concerned. The police of this country, these are great people that do a great job, and every once in a while, something will happen. I didn't like those two events, and you didn't like them either, Michael. You saw those two events that took place last week. And
no, I went on the air saying, I can't believe what I'm watching. It looks like an execution, but that's not an excuse to attack the thin blue line. It's all we've got between us and the Wolves.
Right, right. Well, you didn't like them, and I didn't like them. And whether it's training or whether it was just bad in terms of bad people, you just don't know. But I hated to watch that. I thought it was disgraceful. And maybe they'll have commissions ruling, and maybe there's something that you and I didn't see. But I'm pretty good at looking at things, and I hated it. With that being said, our police are incredible people. They do an incredible job. They don't get credit for the job they do, and we have to have law and order. And I am the law and order candidate. Hillary Clinton is not a candidate with law and order. I am the law and order candidate.
Well, how could she be law and order when she just broke the law through her disorder? As we saw through those fake hearings. Donald, I have to ask you something. You just said you, Michael, didn't like those pictures of the two black guys being killed by the cops. How did you happen to know that? Did you actually hear my show? I don't think you're able to listen to the show while you're on the road, or did someone tell you that?
I heard you say it. I heard you say it on a show. And I you know what? I heard you say it on the show. I do listen to your show. A lot of people listen to your show. I don't even know if you know how many people. So many people come up and they say, Michael Savage loves you. I say, well, that's good news. I think that's true. Look, I did hear you say it on the show. I think if I didn't hear you say it on the show, I'd almost be able to guess it, to be honest, because that was a terrible picture that I witnessed.
Donald, we both grew up breathing clean Alley Pond Park air. I was on the other side of Union Turnpike, but it was the same air. We learned how to think clearly. And we know what clear air is. Donald, you know, you just said something very interesting. My audience, which is very big, just nominated me to the Radio Hall of Fame. Did you hear about that yet or not?
That I have not heard about. I think you deserve it, but that I have not heard about. Perhaps.
Well, it was a big contest that listeners themselves could vote on. And the important point in my mentioning that is that on November 17th in Chicago, after you have won the election, I'm going to the Radio Hall of Fame to be inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame with Walter Winchell and some other greats. I'm going to put you on the spot. Would you consider inducting me into the National Radio Hall of Fame?
Well, where is that, and what was the exact date?
November 17th in Chicago.
Michael, that's like an eternity.
Okay. No, I hear you. I understand, but I'm going to put it back out through your assistance. And it would be our great honor to have you do that, because this will be in the perennial Hall of Fame forever. And I don't think I'm that bad a guy that people would be afraid to associate with me, especially after the election.
No, and you deserve it. You deserve it. You really do. You deserve it, and your audience deserves it, too. It's just such a long distance away. I just don't know what I'll be doing on that time. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe negotiating with Russia so that we get... You know, or maybe, by the way, maybe negotiating a trade deal with China so we stop losing the kind of money we're losing dealing with China. Maybe doing other things. So I don't know, Michael, but if I could, or if I could be a part of it in some way, I would be honored to. You are doing a great job, and you've been loyal to me from the beginning, and I appreciate it.
Let's go into the platform, if you got a few minutes for the audience today. What are the other items, other than building the wall, that is on your platform, Donald? A few quick points, please.
Well, we do. We have strong. We have many items. We have a strong military, very strong military. We have very, very strong on trade, because people have gotten what I said about trade. And, you know, we're all talking about free trade and fair trade. And my trade is basically we want to make great deals for this country, whether you call it free or fair. I could give you 10 different names for trade. I know every one of them. But the trade is about making great deals for our country. We don't make good deals for our country on anything. But very, very important is borders. We want strong borders. We're going to have not only the wall, we're going to have strong borders, because right now we're like Swiss cheese. And as you probably heard, my endorsements from Border Patrol agents and 16,500 Border Patrol agents and Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who's the toughest and a fair guy, but the tough guy on the border, they've all endorsed me, which, frankly, they have never done that before. The Border Patrol agents have never endorsed a presidential candidate before. So we're going to have strong borders. We're going to have many things and many, many great things. Many of the things I'm talking about, we're going to defend our Second Amendment very strong, always obvious, but we're going to defend our Second Amendment, which, as you know, is under siege.
Savage. Well, that's the first half of today's interview with Mr. Trump, which occurred, I'd say, an hour before the show, a bit of an hour, a little more than an hour. And in the second half, he says things that also surprised me. Was there anything in this first portion of the interview, you the listener now, that you recall that is worthy of note? And I mean that. Is there anything he said that you didn't expect to hear? Is there any element of the conversation between Donald Trump and Michael Savage that you think is worth noting? Because I do. And if you care to comment, the phone number is 855-407-282. And we can go back to the other subject, which is, who should Trump pick? Pence, Gingrich, Christie, or another? And I think that's a great topic as well. Now let's go to the callers. Karen on KSFO does not like Mr. Pence. Karen, go ahead, please. Why don't you like Pence?
Because he's been there, done that, and the people of his own state don't like him. And what happened with the Fair Marriage Act? And
I don't, listen, I don't comment on any other, please, I don't comment. Can you cancel that person? She mentions Mr. Softy on my show, like he's an entity. The guy's a non-entity. You mentioned the local talk shows. I never heard of him. I guess you work for him. Let me tell you why Pence, although he's a moderate Republican, there's something about him you may not know. Pence is a huge supporter of charter schools. Did you know that? Check that one if you want. If you heard me, listen carefully. He is a huge supporter of charter schools. Now, what does that mean as to the minority vote? Well, if you look at school choice support by key demographics, and you go down to men, women, Democrats, independents, Republicans, and you go all the way down, who's in favor of charter schools? Let's go down to some of the minority groups and see where they stand on that. White voters support charter schools by a 68-26 margin. African Americans support charter schools by a 76-20 margin, larger than whites do. Latinos support charter schools 76-21. Did you know that? It's such an important but obscure fact that I don't think is going to come up in any of the discussions unless they're listening to my show, because I just dug that up for you. That's a nugget. That's a piece of gold out of the mine. And you don't understand that these people are much smarter than you may give them credit for being so in picking a guy like him. Yes, he's a middle-of-the-road Republican in that regard. But in the digging into the data, what he's actually going to do is bring in minorities just on this issue of charter schools. So we're not talking about Obama's thugs. We're not talking about them. We're talking about middle-class minorities who know what's going on and know what's good for them. There's a huge differential. 855-407-282, Michael Savage, WABC, New York City. Mike, go ahead, Mike. What's your comment?
Yeah, I felt like that if the Trump with the border, the wall, I felt like the way he was talking was that even if the wall doesn't happen, it seems like he might put troops on the border, which is still fine.
Oh. Wait, where did you come up with he said he's going to put troops on the border? When did you hear that?
Well, he commented after you said about the wall about.
But this is the problem, Mike. He never said he'd put troops on the border, and I want to put that to... That's like a smear, actually. That's not a supportive statement. Now you want the liberal media to put up... He was on the Michael Savage show, and he said he'd put troops on the border. He never said that.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like...
All right, take a walk, okay? Go call NPR. Go make some comments on NPR about the losers over there. I love these people who make believe they're my friend or friends of conservatives, and they put out a smear like that, like they're doing us a favor. He never said anything about troops on the border. Schmendrick? 855, I stopped with the number already. It's like a tick. I feel like I have a tick every time I repeat the number. It's like an illness. Keep repeating 855 when I'm in the middle of the night, waking up, go to the bathroom. 855-407-282. And the music, I tell you, you want to know what's going on. I am under such pressure with this election and with the riots that Obama's causing, and people are so freaked out. I cannot get the bumper music from my show out of my head during my day off. It's driving me crazy. I may have to go see a doctor. Like, my bumper music is stuck in my head. I was in San Francisco yesterday. I wanted a day to myself. I rode my bicycle from the ferry terminal down to the Maritime Museum along the Embarcadero. Oh, what a segment of humanity was there. My God. The blimps were floating by. They don't know, oblivious. I looked at them. You know, it's actually a good thing to do. During the hours that I would normally be on the air, I saw the human blimps walking around San Francisco called a tourist. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. They're going to vote. They know what's going on. They don't know. They don't even know what the price of ice cream should be. A blimp, one blimp after the other floating by. I never saw anything like this. Where do the people get so misshapen? Ice cream, licking the ice cream everywhere you turn, misshapen diabetics with ice cream in their hands. So I said to myself, wow, they're the voter bloc? That's who politicians appeal to? And I shook my head. I said, you betcha. They're not appealing to people who listen to talk radio. Those people don't even listen to talk radio. And they are the vast majority. Do you know that? You know, here's the odd part, whether it's my show or others. We don't represent the majority of Americans. We represent a very small sliver of American voters. For example, let's say a show like mine has a 2% share in a market. What does that mean? That's a pretty high share, by the way, in this day and age. That means only 2% of the entire radio audience that is listening to radio at that time is listening to this show. Now, in some markets, I have larger. And on the Internet, which is a whole different demographic, I have a 25% share, which is often overlooked in the industry because it makes the next in line look very bad, who's at 13%. So I have 1 out of 4 people who are listening to radio on their devices, rather, iPhone, whatever, Android, over there, Android, Schmandroid. 25% or so are listening to me, 1 out of 4, listening to radio at the time that I'm on the air, listening to me. That's overwhelming. They vote. See what I'm saying? But they're not the majority of the electorate. It's the blimps who are the majority of the electorate, the floaters. Okay, it was like the Hindenburg on that ride. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, so we're back. And the second half of the Donald Trump interview from this morning will be played at 34 minutes after the hour. Tell your friends. Some of the callers are very interesting, and I'm going to ask you to do it in 30 seconds or less. Giovanni, KSFO, comment or question, fire away.
Something that I noticed was that Trump actually listens to your show, which I thought was, on my side, he's hearing my point, which was pretty significant. I think it's nice. You have his ear, and better your ear.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, is that even in the midst of this all-out knockdown campaign, if he's in a car, he's saying, turn on Savage, I want to hear what he's saying. And he said, you'd be surprised how many people listen to the show. That's, look, of course I'm blowing my own horn, but it's well established that if we don't blow our own horn, no one else will, especially I, who is not attached to any cartels. And so, yeah, he is listening to the show to hear what the people think and what I think. How else would he have known that I was offended by the shooting of those two black guys by the cops? Because I said it on the air the first day it happened. Remember?
You laid the hook out there, and he did respond.
Yeah, well, thanks for that comment. One more quickie. No, I'm sorry, we're out of time. I've got some great callers on the first half of the Donald Trump interview. Now we have a new statement just out by, of all people, Gingrich. He's doing a last-ditch shot for the VP slot. He just said, I have some appeal in virtually every state. He did this on a Facebook video that he made. But he's trying to pitch to Donald Trump, saying he has a wider appeal than Indiana Gov Mike Pence. Yeah, well, I have a few comments to make about that. I'll be right back to make them.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I hear that Fox News Channel just mentioned Michael Savage. Suddenly I'm an entity. After 22 years, they've decided I exist. At 1:01 p.m. Pacific, a news report on Fox News Channel about the VP pick mentioned, quote, that Donald Trump, quote, just wrapped up an interview with Michael Savage and said he hadn't made a decision yet. Thank you at Fox News for breaking the boycott. I really appreciate it. Maybe one day I'll even make an appearance on your network again and won't be banned as I am in Britain. Never can tell what tomorrow might bring. In this hour, for those of you who are still with me or those of you who are just joining me, I will have a Donald Trump interview part two, or the Donald Trump interview from today, part two. And I think we've already disclosed that he didn't say whether it was Pence or Schmentz. Pence, Schmentz, Vence. He didn't say who. He's going to announce it tomorrow morning. He's holding it. Gingrich is lobbying very strongly for it. I said when I interviewed Donald, which I played in the first hour, the first part, I said, are you going to pick Mr. Pence? And I said, well, whoever it is, I hope it's not the G-Man. I said, the G-Man has too much baggage attached to him. He didn't answer that, you know. He said, they're all good, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. But aside from the VP pick, he did talk about his platform. He did say the wall is in there. He said a lot of things. Trade is in there. I asked, what's the platform at the convention? And I asked some other stuff that makes sense to me. I didn't get around to asking him some other things. I mean, we only had 14 minutes. And I said, I was going to ask him, do you accept Justice Ginsburg's apology? Now, you know, I want to talk about that for a minute. Ruth Rottenbader Ginsburg. I've opposed that witch from the day she was foisted upon us for one reason. You want to hear the reason? Did you just lose your breath? She's not the nice old lady that you think she is. This witch was the former chief counsel for the ACLU. That should have disqualified her from the get-go. She's a radical left-wing fanatic. She ran the legal department of the ACLU, but it didn't stop the rotten Republicans from ushering her across the aisle into that position, and she has poisoned the Supreme Court from the day she arrived on that Supreme Court with her alligator breath. She's a terrible human being, a vile human being, an anti-American human being, a biased human being. So you're shocked that she did something that's out of bounds for a Supreme Court justice? When Donald Trump becomes president, I'd like to know if he could begin impeachment proceedings against the witch. I don't care if they put a liberal on, which they probably will do. But let it not be someone from the ACLU. Let us have a shot at some objectivity. You never had a chance with that. Well, that's an old story for me. I've known who she was. I study things. This is an evil woman. Don't be like picking. Let me put it this way, because sometimes I have to reverse things for you to understand it. Let's say Trump becomes president. And he goes and finds the chief counsel for the Ku Klux Klan, who doesn't wear robes, but he's the lawyer for them. And he says, well, I don't really espouse everything the KKK does, but I represent them. And he picks that person and nominates that person to be on the Supreme Court. What would happen? Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the equivalent on the other side. That's right, and I stand by those words. And sometimes you have to reverse things for people to understand the reality of things. I understand reality very well. I have a perfectly logical mind when it comes to politics. I was going to also ask him a few other questions, which I didn't get to. Would your future attorney general prosecute Hillary Clinton for endangering our national security through her email server? How would you go about winning over the Never Trump crowd? Do you think the GOP will try to deny you the nomination at the convention? Are you expecting the convention to go off smoothly, or do you think there will be disruptions caused by various and sundry anti-American groups under the guise of civil rights? These are very important questions that I didn't get around to asking, but you'll hear what I did ask him. I want to take your calls right now on the Savage Nation. Mainly, you know, should Trump pick Pence, Gingrich, Christie, or another? I want to mention something about this Black Lives Matter mythology. It's very important I say it. Everyone's been attacked who dare stand up to these rabid monsters who dare. When everyone says blue lives matter, no, you can't say it. Someone says all lives matter, no, you can't say that. Only black lives matter. Do you realize how absurd that is and how offensive that is? So I figured out, I think, the answer to it. You want to hear it? My life matters. What, are you going to object to that? You mean only one race matters? That's the world you're going to accept in the United States of America? No. My life matters. How's that? That's what your answer is. Not all life matters. No, no. It's your life. No, say, my life matters. That's the answer. Do you get it? That's the algorithm answer. It's impossible to refute. There's no opposing it except with bigotry and hatred. My life matters. Do you understand how important that is? What I've just given you, a key to unlock the hatred of this vicious group supported by George Soros, funded by George Soros, who gave them over $30 million in order to upset America? I'll tell you this, and I'll make it very clear. If Trump becomes president, he should have George Soros hunted down and brought to America for trial against the trial for crimes against the American people, let alone crimes against Europe. What that monster has done to this world. The Open Societies Institute? Do you have any idea what that means? Do you know what that monster has done to European civilization? That monster! And do you know what that monster has done to America? One man. One man could destroy a whole world. One man can save a whole world. George Soros is a destroyer of worlds. A genius destroyer of worlds who's taken his great wealth that he got through money changing in the Temple of Sanity. And what did he do with this money? He used it to destroy European civilization. He's using his fortune to destroy American civilization. He has to be hunted down and brought to trial by the Trump administration. Him and his entire family of deviants. You heard me. I'm not going to mince words. I can't. The time is too late. And by the way, I write about this. And all the others, by the way, who have to be tried. There should be trials. You say, what, are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy. We have been on trial in this country for 8 straight years. Everyone who thinks straight, acts straight. Everyone who wants to live straight has been on trial from the monster in the White House. And from his attorney general monsters. We've been on trial! And it's time to put them on trial. If Trump, now you understand why they hate him and why they fear him. They know that there's going to be retribution because they know better than we do what they've done to this country and the world. And they know that we know. And they're hanging on by a thread. Every last one of these criminals have to be tried for what they have done and are doing to this world and to this country. And by the way, I have a whole list of them in Scorched Earth. If you think they're alone, you're mistaken. There are organizations that you would not believe so deeply embedded in this society that are on a daily basis undermining the fabric of our society, unraveling it. I list them all. I list them all on Scorched Earth, which will be out right after Labor Day in my last-ditch attempt to awaken America, to awaken the blimps, the floating blimps, the ice cream suckers, the ice cream lickers, I call them. Who was it who painted that famous painting, The Potato Eaters? Was it Van Gogh? I think so. In Arles. The Potato Eaters. Well, if I could paint, I would paint the ice cream lickers. It would be the blimps on Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco with the cone in the hand. The blimps. The little Hindenburgs floating by. Well, I'm glad I got that out of my system. Welcome back to the show. Ruth Rotten Girl Binberg, whatever her name is, has violated the code of conduct for the Supreme Court. Supreme Court code of conduct forbids involvement in political campaigns. She has absolutely violated that. It's not a matter of taste. She has to be impeached and thrown out. She has to be thrown out. She must be impeached today. But the liver-lily Republicans are going to do anything? Who? Paul Ryan? No, I don't think so. He's busy pumping iron with the earbuds on, looking at himself in the mirror. All right, let's see what the people themselves have to say. Let's go to the callers around America on the interview, the first 7 minutes. The second half of the interview will be heard on this show. Man, I blew out all the stops in the organ with that. You have no idea. Hey, let me tell you something. I have so much rage in me from what's being done to this country by the monster in the White House and by his minions and by these fellow travelers who have destroyed this country. And I have an outlet. I have an outlet on this show. Every day I reach millions of people. I can't imagine what you're feeling. I can't imagine what the average Eddie out there is feeling who is pent up and his mouth has been sewn shut by these left-wing rats, these fascist bastards. Fascists! There's a war going on in the streets. And I warned you a year ago that Obama would use his thugs. I warned you he would make an army of his thugs. Did I not say that to you over and over again? Did I envision that America, that when it comes near the election, he'll use his street thugs as his personal army? I warned you that! We're only one step away from this monster in the White House, this revolutionary monster, deputizing them and giving them weapons to make them enforcers in the streets of America, triggering a civil war. And if you think he won't do it, I pray to God, you know more about him than I do. I better take a break because I'm about to blow out another organ stop on the show and I can't do it. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Donald Trump Part 2 of the interview coming up in a few minutes. People are emailing me from around the country that even Fox News is playing the interview right now, or in last hour, 30 minutes, finally recognizing that they have to, no matter how they want to boycott me, they can't anymore. I want to talk about something that's very, very troublesome. I was reading today, linked on the Drudge Report from The Week, that the CIA has a team of clairvoyants trying to predict the future. They're trying to think around, you know, they call it outside the box. Anytime I hear that in a corporate setting, I know they're thinking inside the box. They're trying to figure out what's coming because they failed on so many different levels. During the early 1990s, they missed the sudden collapse of Somalia, Zaire, Rwanda, and the Soviet Union. They didn't know it was coming because they were thinking squarely. So now they're trying to get, you know, original thinkers, social scientists, clairvoyants, looking at global political data and trying to figure out what's coming next. Now, they've had this for a long time because the collapse of the Soviet Union completely caught the CIA off guard. They didn't even know it was happening. Just like the scientists are lying about global warming. They're sticking to their big lie. They're using this old models, the old models that don't work. But now they're shifting their focus to four main topics. Revolutionary and ethnic civil war onset. State collapse and genocide. What you're watching right now is revolutionary and ethnic civil war onset being fomented by President Barack Obama. How else would you explain him inviting the head of the so-called Black Lives Matter movement into the White House after the police are dead? What's the signal that this monster is sending? What signal is this monster sending at this time? Go, man, go. Bring it all down. He is a revolutionary. How many times do I need to tell you that? For years I've been on to him. He is a hardcore revolutionary, the most grippingly successful salesman of revolution I've ever seen in the history of the world. He never yells. He never screams. He is the most silk-smooth salesman of violence I have ever seen in my life. And you can never nail him with it. You can't touch him with it. He's so slippery, you can never go back and see any words that he said that actually triggered riots or murders. But he does it with a wink and a nod. He signals them. How else is he signaling by inviting this bum to the White House? This troublemaking bum. What is he doing by inviting him? Did he invite the police union into the White House? No. He's showing you which side he's on. Okay, so let's look again. CIA is looking to four main topics. Revolutionary and ethnic civil war onset. Adverse regime change, state collapse, and genocide. Okay, let's just let that hang in the air right now. And then they try to calculate when these things are going to happen. This government cannot do anything right. They're crippled. I hate to use the word with political correctness, but they're crippled. They're crippled. All of them are crippled, no matter how good the men may be. No matter how good the women may be, they're crippled. The groupthink has so imprisoned them. If you read another story that came up today, it's really shocking, by the way, but not surprising. It's shocking, but not surprising. It's down on the left of, I don't know where it was on, the Drudge Report. I don't know where he gets all this stuff from. It's about the FBI had interviewed the murderer of the gay in the gay nightclub. For 2 years they had him on their radar. They were interviewing him. For 2 years! He was screaming Al-Qaeda revolution 2 straight years. And they're so crippled by Obama that they couldn't arrest him. And he went and shot all of the gay people at the club. The FBI had him, interviewed him, and had to do nothing with him because of the crippling. And so, my friends, these are very dangerous times. Why do you think Trump is so popular? He's now overtaken Hillary in 2 major polls. You didn't hear that. Didn't make it to the decapitated press outlets, has it? But if you look at the actual studies, it's pretty amazing. He's beating Hillary now in the latest polls. Rasmussen, a poll, Trump 44, Clinton 37. She's collapsing after the Stooge hearings, the Stalinist hearings, where she slipped out because the FBI set it up for her to walk. The people are not that stupid. I don't mean the blimps. I'm not talking about the ice cream lickers on Fisherman's Wharf. I'm talking about people who pay attention to the news. Trump 44, Clinton 37. If the CBS New York Times poll is showing 40-40, it's 50-30. I can guarantee you, even the left wing is showing a 40-40. He's surging. See, okay, he'll be with us in a minute. Listen.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Donald, this is so important to me. As a trained epidemiologist, you know I earned my doctorate at UC Berkeley, in that field and others. And the fact is that Mr. Obama has not only been flooding America with immigrants who cannot or will not work, he's bringing in people who have brought back illnesses that were once basically eliminated in America. Tuberculosis was almost wiped out. I can name 5 other diseases. He is bringing in diseased immigrants. We need a revamping inside the National Institutes of Health and especially the Centers for Disease Control, because they're nothing but politicized hacks who do the president's bidding. They're no longer independent scientists. I'm going to say right now, Donald, I know it's a long way off. If you become president, I would offer my services for $1 a year to help you with that. I know an awful lot about it. It's a disaster to bring in diseased immigrants. Don't you agree?
Well, that's what's happening, and people don't like talking about it, and certainly it's not politically correct to talk about it, and that's why they don't do it, because everything we do today has to do with political correctness. If something's a little bit off just a little bit, they'd say, oh, please don't mention that. Even my people tell me don't mention that, but I decide to mention things anyway. Even though I know it's going to end up being a firestorm, I mention them anyway. But there's something that's one of the other elements, and the people are pouring into this country, and in many cases, they're not well people, and we have, in many respects. And
Well, it's a fact. I don't see how people can argue with a fact. When my grandfather came over from Russia, you remember the movie The Godfather, when little Vito Corleone was put into quarantine because he had some infectious disease?
Yeah.
They walk across the border now with Zika, TB, malaria, doesn't matter. And then they dispense throughout the population. It's crazy. No sane society on earth has ever done this. Anyway, I don't want to drag you into the realities of this because you have plenty of other things to deal with that are probably higher on your priority list. Obama has destroyed race relations in our nation. Everyone acknowledges that. Even liberals are frightened right now what he is doing. How can you fix this, Donald, when you become president? How?
So he's the great divider, and I had hoped that when he got in, I had no great feeling that he was going to be a great president, but what I did have a feeling that he would be a cheerleader for the country, and he would be somebody that could bring people together, perhaps. And unfortunately, that didn't work out. He's turned out to be far worse than anybody understands in terms of division. He's the great divider, and
yeah.
We need somebody, obviously, we need jobs. We need all of those things. We need incentives, but we need jobs. And we're going to bring back jobs from other countries. We're going to bring back jobs from Mexico. We're not going to let these countries take our companies like they do, like we're babies. But one very important thing, I will be a cheerleader for this country. We're going to be a cheerleader for this country because right now our country has absolutely no spirit. You see what's going on in our cities now with the crime and the problems and the the horrible situations that are occurring and really occurring, and you're seeing it very much over the last 2 weeks. But we will bring back spirit, and I will be a great cheerleader, among other things, for the country.
Donald, but I think that's why you appeal to women and to minorities. It's because they also, I'm talking about the middle class in the minority groups. They want the American dream. They don't want a revolution. They don't want division. They don't want races fighting with each other. They came here to build a better life. And they want someone like you, and I've said it 100 times, who they can look up to give them a part of the American dream. And that brings us right to Hillary herself. She calls you divisive when she wants to carry forward Obama's identity politics. The exact opposite of what she's saying. She's the one who'll divide the nation even further. We all know that.
Well, what she got away with her emails, I think it may be her greatest accomplishment, if you want to know the truth, because you look at all of the mistakes she's made. But I think her single greatest accomplishment will be the fact that she got rid of 33,000 emails and nobody even called her on it. She was proven to be a liar, and the director said she was a liar. The director of the FBI said she was a liar, and nothing happened. I think it's absolutely incredible. I think it's her greatest accomplishment in life.
Donald, I know you're busy and you've got to run, but I want to say this. I hope you pick Mr. Pence over the G-Man for a number of reasons. Mr. Pence is new. He's fresh. He has a wonderful background and a wonderful family. He's not burdened with any baggage. And I think he's going to make a fabulous vice president, and also really, I think, make the team 100% stronger.
Well, he's a great guy, and they're all good. I mean, and many more beyond the three that you're talking about. We had some incredible people, and, you know, I haven't made that final decision, but I'll be announcing it tomorrow at 11, and you'll be listening, and I really appreciate your support. And if I can help you with your induction, if I can, I will do it in one form or the other.
Before you go, I'm going to resend the announcement of that win, which was this Monday. I sent it to your assistants. I don't think they got it to you because of, you know, what's going on. We'll make sure that you get a quick look at that story, because you'll be quite surprised to find out who I was running against. You know, Donald, you're a very competitive man, and I remember during your primaries, you went at your competitors with tooth and claw. People accused you of being too aggressive, too this, too that, and you said, no, first I have to beat them to get where I want to go. Remember that?
I do. We have to win.
I have the same kind of competitive streak in me, and so I beat the number one, you know, guy in radio who was running against me. And I said he's a wonderful guy and a great competitor after the fight, as boxers do after a fight. You know, they embrace each other. But I ran against a very, very hard couple of candidates, Donald. And I want to, again, say to you, keep fighting. Don't let them move you away from your points. In my opinion, it's what got you there that will get you there. That's the only thing I want to say.
Well, I appreciate that, Michael, and I will. We will be fighting right till the end, and hopefully we'll win. And you know the expression, make America great again. That's what we're going to do.
Donald Trump, God bless you. I can't wait to see the inauguration. All I want is an umbrella and a ticket.
You will have it. Thank you, Michael.
God bless America. Thank you, Donald Trump.
Savage.
An umbrella and a ticket. It always rains during those inaugurations. I hope he wins. Just everything's at stake, you know that. This is like the final throw of the dice. I mean, we've heard it before, but really, this time? And you've seen nothing yet? You haven't seen the thugs go wild in the streets, have you? Oh, a little bit at Ferguson. They only burned a quarter of Baltimore down. No, that was nothing. That was a prelude. That was the overture to the great opera that Obama has in store for us, the conductor that he is, the conductor of revolutions. I pity what's going to happen at the Republican convention, what he's going to unleash on them. I personally think that the governor has to call out the National Guard in advance and put them outside the convention house. That's what America's come down to with this revolutionary cabal running this country. We literally need to have a National Guard presence to protect them. You know, there's an interesting little sideshow story that I found. It was from July 3rd. That I just posted this morning on michaelsavage.com. And it showed, I want to find it for you. It's not to sell the website. I mean, nice if you go on there. Great. It's all important to me. Here. Bikers Trump Sissy Anarchist Flag Burners. New York Post from July 3rd. A group of so-called anarchists went to burn the American flag. And where was this? In New York City. There were anti-New York Police Department protesters. So these cowardly, disgusting anarchist bums try to burn a flag. Now, it's against the law to burn anything in Fort Greene Park. So what these little rats did is they found a way around the law. It's illegal to openly burn anything in Fort Greene Park. So the cowardly little girls in the anarchist movement found a loophole in the law that allows cooking in closed barbecued grills. So they started to roast the American flag, but they didn't burn it for too long. A group of bikers went there, and one of them, a former Marine, rushed forward in a fit of rage, kicked over the grill. Embers started to fly, then doused it as members of the pro-flag crowd chanted, USA, USA. The bikers then started to try to rough up the sissies. Guess who saved the sissies from the bikers? The NYPD that they were protesting. The little sissies were shielded by the cops and escorted out of the park. One of the bikers, Brian Christopher, age 23, said, I served in the Marines. We defend this flag. We're ready to die for it. When I see people burning it and showing complete ignorance, it's very offensive. Take a look at the picture of the bikers. Because, my friends, you're going to see a lot more of them as the months evolve in the Savage Nation. It's not that the police can't do their job. They would do it gladly. But they're not allowed to do the job. Their hands have been tied. Not one hand behind their back, but both hands have been tied behind the back of the police, as is part of the master plan of the puppet master. But no one's been able to tie the hands of the bikers yet. And that's why I say I think it would be a very wise move if we avoided further violence provoked by Obama by bringing out the National Guard in advance and protecting the people inside the Republican National Convention from these violent protesters who said that they're going to be there with guns, with weapons. I know you say, well, wow, what does that say about America that we need the National Guard protecting people? It says everything about Obama, not about America. We'd love to have a peaceful convention, but he's unloosed the mobs. He's unleashed them and unloosed them. They're running wild in the streets as part of the master plan. So look at this story. They're protesting the NYPD by burning a flag, these little rats. Some of them, the men are wearing dresses. You know, the metros, the fluid sexual types. They're all wild and crazy, you know. Why they hate the America that gives them the freedom to be the sickos that they are, I'll never understand, other than liberalism is a mental disorder. That won't be played at Fox News tonight. I hear they're playing my interview with Mr. Trump, which is great, very nice. So then they're protesting the NYPD. Guess who saves them? The NYPD. That's all? Okay, you got that. There's so much more in the news right now. It's pretty frightening about the Hillary's email scandal. Did you hear what came out today? The head of the FBI made his agents sign a non-disclosure agreement for any matter involving Hillary's emails. Can you believe we're living in this country? You got it. July 12th, this came out. FBI agents signed an NDA for matters involving Hillary's emails. This is a shocking story. In a very unusual move, FBI agents working the Hillary Clinton email case were forced to sign a special form reminding them not to talk about the probe to anyone unless called to testify. Sources said they had never heard of the case briefing acknowledgement form being used before, although all agents must initially sign non-disclosure agreements to obtain security clearance. One retired FBI chief said, this is very, very unusual, I've never signed one. Never heard of it. Another FBI agent currently working said, I have never heard of such a form. Sounds strange. It was imposed upon them by James Comey. They were forced to sign an NDA. Do you realize what that means? That you're now living in South America. You're now living in Uruguay. You're now living in a banana republic. There's no longer a nation of checks and balances and law and order. It's a nation of power-mad scum running everything. Like that word? Did it get to you? Did it cut through the molasses of your brain? There's no other way to reach you. Listen to me. This is not NPR. Da, 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 da. Let me tell you something. If Donald Trump wins, and I hope he does, one of the first things I would lobby for if he ever asks me is cutting all funding to NPR. And let me tell you why. It's a total left-wing outlet around the clock. Sorry. Secondly, it's an unfair competition for those of us in the commercial radio business. You see, they get to run for a straight hour without any ads. So naturally, they have very high ratings because no one's, let's be honest, they're listening for a straight hour because there's no ads. So they get brainwashed for a straight hour. They pay themselves exorbitant salaries. If you ever looked at the kind of money these creeps make at NPR, you'd be shocked. Money that should go to the veterans, take care of them, things like that. You eliminate NPR because it's an unfair competitor to men like me. I have to compete with them for audience and for ratings, right? Well, they're not running ads. It's not a fair playing field. I believe in competition. Put me up against NPR and give them the same clock I run on with ads. I guarantee you they'd be buried. They wouldn't have the big shares they have right now. So what I'm saying is it's time to get rid of this socialist national public radio. That's socialism. It's the kind of stuff that they run in Britain and that they run in France. You know France, didn't you hear that little story, that fair socialist nation called France? Are you ready for this kicker? Here's one to kick down the field for yourself tonight. How many times have I told you that socialism is right out of Animal Farm, where the pigs take over the farm and make believe they're for all the other animals? You want to see the most positive proof of that position? The president of France, Mr. Hollande, makes believe he's Mr. Humble. It came out yesterday that he's been paying his hairdresser $11,000 a month to travel with him at all. And he's bald, by the way. It's a little side comb. The hairdresser travels with him at all times. The hairdresser's been getting $11,000 a month for all the years he's been in power. If this is not an example of what socialism is at its worst, I'd like to know what is. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Look, in many ways, Donald Trump is like a pirate. He's outside the normal system. He gets things done. He's bold. He's actually like a figure out of a movie. In a lot of ways, my entire career has been a little bit like a pirate. I've taken on the establishment of both parties. I've been very prepared to fight in the media. One of the really hard questions he's got away on the way to California.
Right, turn off the blimp, please. If ever there was an example of why he is not qualified, you know, Gingrich was pretty good when he was Speaker of the House in the 90s. We're talking 20 years ago. He's used goods. He's the past. Trump is the present and the future. But to say he's a pirate, that's just what we needed right now, with two pirates. Unbelievable to me. Okay, I made my point, right? Now, there's more that we have to talk about, a lot more. Why is he picking Pence, if that's the pick? And it looks like it might be. Who knows? Well, number one, evangelicals. Very important. They haven't gone away. You know, there's actually an ethnic group called White Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Remember them, the WASPs? You know, they still exist in America. Hey, does anyone remember them? You know, their lives matter, too. That's number one. Number two, and I'm going to say it again, I think this is their strategy. I didn't say that I am saying this. I think their strategy is two straight white males to straighten out America. And also the idea of erecting a white picket fence with Pence is also an image that they're putting out there. Just one man's opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Well, we added that to the opening. Those of you who are Savage aficionados, you notice we added a line to the opening, build-up. And that's, of course, because it's true. And as you know, today, the widely quoted interview with Mr. Trump is being played on Fox News, which I'm quite surprised about because I'm blacklisted by Fox News for reasons I'll never understand. I mean, just because I called O'Reilly leprechaun a number of years ago, why would he hold that against me? Why would a sane man hold such a mild, you know, it's nothing. And yet, it shows you how people really are, how thin-skinned they really are. But anyway, that's the big interview. I asked him about Pence. He wouldn't commit. He said he'll do it tomorrow. He actually said he's going to make his decision today and announce it tomorrow in New York, and he invited me to be there. Unfortunately, I live in the, well, there's a phrase I can't use, the blank of the empire here in San Francisco. I don't know, maybe I should move to New York once he becomes president. I was thinking about that today. It's never too late to actually get to the center of things. This is such an out-of-town place. I mean, it's beautiful. I love the fog, you know, and the food is from hunger. You can hardly find a meal out here. Few places I go to that are nice. Pinocchio, that's about it. A couple others. No, seriously, I'm thinking of moving back east after this. If he wins, I may move to New York. It's never too late. What's to stop me from moving to New York? Why not? No, go ahead. Get out of here already. We don't need you here. No, no. What do you need here? What do you need here? More illegal aliens? They're adding to your society, you morons, you? You don't need geniuses like me, you morons, you? You idiots? You want people coming in here who will contribute nothing but hatred and murder? That's what you want? Oh, I see. They clean your houses. That's why you love them so. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Zuckerberg. They work for you at half the price that white people would work for here in America. I'm sorry, Mr. Zuckerberg. I shouldn't have mentioned that. You don't know the extent of greed. You have no idea what avarice is. At a certain point, greed reaches a point of avarice. The Buccaneers. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Savage Nation. So basically, we're talking about Pence. And to me, Pence makes sense. There'll be a nice bumper sticker. Pence makes sense. I sent it to the Trump campaign right after the interview today. I haven't heard from them yet. And I think the interview was really... Raise your hand if you heard the first part of the interview. Robert did. Jim did. No one else did. Because many of you tuned in the last hour and heard the second part, but not the first part. I'm tempted to replay a part of the first part of the interview right now. But I'll only do it if you raise your hands right now and say, yes, I missed it, I want to hear it. Because the meat of the interview was in there. The parts that are being quoted all over Fox and whatnot. Or we could just talk about it amongst ourselves. Is Pence a good choice or not? Who would you pick? I think that's a valid question. You know, I didn't know Pence from a hole in the wall. I didn't know Pence from Schwentz. I never heard of him. But the guy looks like an Eagle Scout, a Boy Scout. He looks like he owns a baseball team. You know what I'm saying to you? Like, you know, two straight white males. Oh, God! You can't have that. Don't we need diversity? Well, the straight white male, Christians at that, the Christian heterosexual white male is now the smallest minority in America in terms of representation by the geniuses in the media, like whoever runs it there at CNN. What a picture of him on... I knew he was always that type. Immediately I knew it. I never saw him. Mystery. CNN loses feet as reporter critiques Hillary. And there's a picture of the wonderful human being who runs CNN. Oh, do I have a few things to say about that guy. Is it Zucker? Is that Zucker? Jeff Zucker runs CNN? Is that it? What's this with Zucker, Zuckerberg? What is all of this? Okay, so they cut the feet off as they're criticizing Hillary. See, that's what they did in the ex-Soviet Union. They cut microphones. Thank you, Jeff. Your ancestors fled Russia, and now you're bringing the Soviet Union to us, Zucker. Zucker, you know what? You're a shame. You're a shanda, they say in Jewish. You're a shanda to your family, what you're doing to this country. Does anyone know what I just said? No one's listening already. They tuned out. All right, whatever. I don't know if I want to talk about Schmentz or Pence right now. Who would you pick is the question. I when he was on the air, I said, I'm glad you're not picking the G-Man. And I want to talk about it. I think the people don't care anymore right now. They don't want to hear any more about it. I'll take calls. George on WFNC in North Carolina, what do you got to say, my friend? Hey, hey, ho, ho, what's on your mind?
Yes, God bless you, Michael, for your insight and for your forthrightness in not biting your tongue when America needs someone on the air like yourself. And I really appreciate, I listen to you constantly, and sometimes I can never get through, but I want to tell you, as a black, retired, military veteran who served in the Korean War and Vietnam, and I'm also from New York City. I was born in Manhattan. There is no free lunch, and the Black Lives Matter, in my opinion, is a racist movement, and I agree with Giuliani and you regarding these schmucks that are walking the
You know, George, I really didn't know what you were going to say. I didn't know if you were black or white. I had no idea, but I really love this call because you think the way most sane Americans think. You are able to see things as they are, George.
There's no question, Michael. Listen, I put in 21 years, 11 months, and 13 days in the United States Army. I took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And to see these schmucks out there burning down the cities, talking about they have been discriminated against. They don't know nothing about discrimination.
All right. You're 1,000% right. I'm going to talk about that for a minute. I'm sending you Government Zero. Oh, wow, this guy is so great. I want you to stay on the line. I'm going to tell you something funny. I can't identify the individual, but it was yesterday, I believe. It was yesterday morning before I went to the city to take my bicycle ride amongst the blimpy ice cream eaters in Fisherman's Wharf. I had a shuttle driver drive me back from a car dealership. He happened to be African American. So we were driving. It was a short ride. And one word led to the other. And he said, "I heard you're Michael Savage." I said, "Yes." I said, "I hope you don't hate me." And he smiled. And we got around right away to the whole race thing and the shootings and the this and the that. So he said to me, I said, "Well, how do you explain this violence? How do you explain these young males going wild in the streets?" I said, "You know, the president's inciting them." I said, "Why do you think they're doing this?" Now, remember what I'm about to tell you. Please don't jump already the gun and start in with your cyber hate. Listen to me. It's a true story. And the only thing I have going for me is I can back up my statements. And one of the greatest defenses is the truth, by the way. So this African-American male who was driving the van says to me, he said, "I grew up in Richmond, California, which is largely an African-American community at this time or in the area he grew up." And he said, "It was not like that when I was young." He said, "It was difficult and tough." I said, "What, but they didn't kill each other just for sport?" He said, "No." So I said, "What to you now, not me, white guy, no. You, black guy, you tell me why this is going on now. What do you think it is?" And these are his words. Now, you got to listen to what I'm saying to you. These are his words. I want you to evaluate what he's going to say, as I'm telling you what he said. It's shocking. He said to me, and I don't even know what his politics are, incidentally. I don't know if he's a liberal or what. I assume he is. Says to me, he said, "Michael, you got to understand many of these, quote, young men in these cities are the children of mothers who are addicted to crack." I said, "What?" He said, "They're crack babies who have grown up now, and they're very violent." He says, "They were damaged at birth." He said that, not me. Now, is it possible that we can talk about neurological damage in the United States of America? Now, there are other people. There are liberals who see it totally differently. They say maybe that's one element, but it's not the whole element. I said, "Well, what do you mean? What are the other elements? What are the other elements?" Well, other people say that because, I have to find it for you, I have it all. You're not going to believe this study. Causes of black violence and crime. With charts and stats. This is from a liberal prospectus. And they say it's the cycle of chronic stress and of never having enough money and living in a dangerous place. Recurring traumatic situations that trigger the crime. And then the liberal view is, look at how many black males who are mostly 15 to 35 years old are incarcerated and are murdered. How many children grow up without a father because of it and thus struggle even more financially. That leads to additional stress. And then there's a higher risk of abuse and neglect and drug and alcohol abuse in the home. And they say the kids grow up like that and then have kids and the whole thing starts all over again. So it's the chicken and the egg. I mean, how do you fix this problem is the issue. We can all talk about the issue, but how do you solve the problem? How do you end the cycle of violence in that particular community? Because look, let's be very clear. I came from a rather poor family. I mean, let's be clear. We don't like to use the word. We struggled. And my father struggled to get us out of a poorer neighborhood and move us from the Bronx to Queens to an attached house. Bought a house for $14,000 in 1952. It was everything he could do, and it was paradise for us. He wanted us out of the slum of the South Bronx. Of course, it's a good thing he did that. That's called upwardly mobile. Remember those phrases from the 60s? An upwardly mobile family. Remember those catchphrases that sociologists used to use? Inner city. All that. You couldn't say ghetto anymore. You had to say inner city. So, okay, upwardly mobile. So he went from poor to, you know, the next little level. Then people would try to move from an attached house to a semi-detached house. Then semi-detached, you know, that's how it works. That's how America works, is that you try to move yourself up. And you kill yourself to do it. That means hard work. It means putting off your pleasure principle. It means waiting for your reward. All the things that are so hard to do if you had no father or mother willing to do that herself or himself. If you see people who are living on welfare who don't work, why would you want to work? What's going to motivate you to work? What's going to motivate you to better yourself? Tell me what's going to motivate you. So naturally, oh, screw you. And you see the television. Everyone has a new car. Everyone looks happy, which they're not. Everyone is driving a car or they go by. And so you're full of resentment. Then you get a monster who says that you are a victim. And he steams you up against those who have more than you do. He does it for 7.5 straight years. He doesn't overtly say, go burn, go loot, go murder. He just says you're a victim. They picked on you. They stole it from you. What do you think is going to happen? And that's where we are today. Okay, so if you want to talk about Pence or Schmentz or any of this, the phone number is 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Remember where you heard it first, Pence makes sense. It'll probably be on bumper stickers at some point. I want to take some calls on the issue of the violence in the inner cities. I don't know how else to put it, okay? I'm a former social worker, so it gives me a little bit up on general commentators who write in the ivory towers. I actually gave money to New York City money to poor people who largely in that. There were some white poor, Hispanic poor, there were Puerto Rican poor, black poor. I saw what was going on inside those welfare apartments with my own eyes. I have a little insight, you know, and things haven't changed that much. And by the way, in case you don't know it, part of my background was I was a school teacher for years before other things along the way. And I was teaching junior high school in Queens, New York. It was in South Jamaica. I taught in an all-black junior high school. And here I was, this little white kid came in to teach. And naturally, I was intimidated. You know, it was a pretty violent school. It was, even then. No one was shooting then. They're beating each other up. I have insights into behavior as well, and it was the black girls who controlled the boys. I told you the technique I used. I said to them, look, I'm only here for one reason, which is to teach you science. If you want to learn it, I'll teach it. If you don't, if you start disrupting, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not calling anybody. I'm not going to make an issue out of it. I said, I'm going to sit down. You see this newspaper? I'm going to sit and read it, and I won't teach. I'm here to help you. I'm going to teach you. If you want to learn, I'll try. If you make noise, you throw erasers, I'm going to sit and read the newspaper. I was a little kid. What did I know? So I start to teach about the atom. The next thing, screaming, yelling. I said, okay, that's it. And I'd sit down with the newspaper, and I'd throw my feet up on the desk and read it. Well, this went on only a few times until the girls, and some of these girls were tough. They said, now shut up. Let Mr. Savage teach. The boys wouldn't listen to him. I saw the girls go after some of the boys. I'm talking about fighting. You never saw fighting unless you saw girls fight with each other. I saw fights that you wouldn't believe. It was pretty brutal in that classroom. And I'll tell you the teacher who got it all wrong. He was the one who tried to control the students with threats. Well, he got beaten up. It doesn't work if you try to threaten certain elements of society. You got to work with them, and you got to know which parts of that society want to work with you. There's no blanket answer of everyone's this, everyone's that. Those stereotypes don't hold. So I do have insights based on real life, but I want to take a... Wow, time is running by today. KSFO, Abu Go ahead, please. Why is this happening in these communities?
Well, I call it the domino effect. When you take the father out of the house, when you put the crack cocaine in there, like the guy said, you put the drugs in the community, and then you put them on welfare, and then now, you know, if this was in any other community, it doesn't matter, black, Asian, Latino, if you did that to any other culture, they would have the same problems today.
Well, I think you're right, because if you see the Midwest, let's go to New Hampshire. Poor whites, addicted to whatever the drug is they're addicted to up there. I think it's Oxy. I don't know what the drug is. Those communities have imploded.
Okay.
You know, there's a drug epidemic in this society. The war on drugs is dead. Maybe we need a new war on drugs to stop this.
It seems like African Americans, unfortunately, they use the cocaine, and the lighter skinned people, they use what? What is it, meth?
I guess. I don't know. I don't use any of that stuff. I drank white wine last night, Sicilian white wine. It was enough for me. You know, we're all one nation. This is one nation. It's a crowded lifeboat. Either we are going to learn how to pull the oars together, or we're all going to sink together. That includes the violent ones. They'll go down with the ship. There will be nothing left if we don't all get together. And we need a leader to teach us to get together, not to have us smash each other in the heads with the oars.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Breaking news. This comes from a Twitter feed from a Jim Shella saying this is confirmed that Mike Pence departed from Mount Comfort Airport, that's Indianapolis Regional Airport today, at 4:10, headed to Teterboro Airport in New Jersey. And there's a video of it. So, I mean, if he's, you know, if he flew out of on a private jet from Indianapolis over to Teterboro, what's he going for? To be rejected? Or it could be a fake, people are saying. Or Trump is gathering finalists to tell most of them you're fired. I don't think so. I believe that this proves that, Pence makes sense. It's that simple. He left Mount Comfort Airport, now known as Indianapolis Regional, at 4:10 Central, on to Teterboro in New Jersey. And there's a video that you can see. So it looks like he is the pick. You know, truthfully, I'll back him 100%, as I said. Certainly over Christie and certainly over Gingrich. Let's put it to you that way, if those are the three. For the reasons I mentioned, I don't have to bash them again to tell you what my reservations are. One man's opinion. I wouldn't have picked Pence. I would have picked, the ideal candidate would have been a military man. Flynn would have been the greatest. This country is in such turmoil right now. I think an iron-hard combat warrior at a general level, America would really, and you know what? Hillary's looking at some admiral. I don't know what that admiral is, what his background is, but see, you know, she's going to pick some admiral to be her VP, and he's picking a governor. I don't know. Why didn't he pick Mr. Flynn? Maybe he needs a politician who knows how to, make the wheels turn inside Congress. What do I know? But we got to back him one way or the other at this point. You know, we all have an opinion, right? There's an old saying, opinions are like, you know what, we all have one. Robert, did you ever hear that saying? Opinions are like blank, we all have one. You can figure out which part of the anatomy it is, the ear. Opinions are like the ear, we all have one. So, what were we talking about when I got so rudely distracted? I don't know what we were talking about already. I'm so agitated by what's going on in society that I gotta tell you, that day off I took yesterday with the bike ride from the ferry terminal over to the Maritime Museum, 90 minutes on the bike. The first 45 minutes, all I heard was a bumper music for my radio show. I had no radio on. All I heard was the bumper music. It's so ingrained in my brain. I'm getting worried. It's nightmarish. I can't get it out of my head. It's like stuck. There may be some I have to go to a therapist for this. I hear the bumper music. I hear the opening. It's actually frightening. There's a word for it. What's it called when a song gets stuck in your head, Robert? There's a word. I don't know. There's a special word. I think there's doctors who have specialized in treating it. But you know what worked? After about 30 minutes of pumping those pedals, it went away. That's the intro. That's why exercise has always been the salvation. It's the number one salvation. And especially if you preload your body with ascorbic acid and then pump those pedals, you're going to circulate the ascorbate right through your, through all of your brain cells. You know, it's the fastest. I'm going to get into vitamins. I know no one wants to hear it today. You know that vitamin C crosses the blood-brain barrier faster than heroin because the molecule is smaller. Did you know that? Now, just a little side note. Yes, yes, yes. Years ago, I wrote about this in a book called Getting Off Cocaine, 1983. Very important book. And it was about nutritional therapies for getting people off cocaine. It was a very important slim volume. Can't even find it anymore. And you know that a treatment center in the Bronx said that they used it and it worked like worked very well. Yeah, okay, look, this part of my background. What do you want to talk about? Welfare, Pence, Schmentz. I think Schmentz is the subject. A lot of people like him, don't like him, do like him. They never heard of him, right? They have an opinion. I love this. They never heard of, 2 days ago, no one heard of Pence. Now already they're lined up. He's no good. He's terrible. He's the worst. He is the worst. He's a this. He's a that. Already, the cruise bots are out there. All the cruise supporters are attacking Pence. They don't even know the guy. But he's no good already. Okay, this is the beauty of a free society. Everyone has an opinion, okay? Well, let's take the callers. Dee on WABC. You don't like Pence. Why?
Hi, Michael. I don't like Mike Pence. From what I've heard, he condemned Donald Trump over his Muslim ban. He said it was unconstitutional. If that's the case, then I think that the Republicans will team up with the Democrats and try to impeach Donald Trump and throw him out of office, knowing that they'll have the malleable Mr. Pence.
Wait, hold it. Now you're going down a rat hole. I don't understand. Impeach him for what? He's not president yet.
Because if he gets in and Mike Pence is his vice president and he tries to put on a ban on Muslims, they'll try to impeach him, figuring that his replacement, if they throw him out of office, his replacement...
Oh, you're saying that's the RNC strategy. I get it. That's pretty good. That's far, far and away not a possibility today, but it could be down the road. But, you know, we should talk about the issue of banning Muslim immigrants. I think it's a valid discussion for any sane nation to have. And I don't want to do it right now. I think we need to do it another day. Pro and con. 855-407-282 is the phone number. Michael Savage is the name of the radio host you're listening to. Of course, we're all talking about Mike Pence. Donald Trump was on the show earlier. Robert, could you do this for the audience who missed the first part? I want to play the first two minutes of the Donald Trump interview. Could we do it without the big build-up with the music? Or just play it whenever you can. I want to just hear it again. Those who missed it want to hear this opening, because they may have heard the second, but not the first. People have more to do than listen to the radio. Let's hear it again. This is what everyone's quoting all over the media, what he said today on the show. Mr. Trump, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael, very much.
Well, we know you're way up in the polls, and we hope that you keep climbing, and I really pray to God you can become president and save America. It's all over the media. I don't know if you want to confirm or deny. It says Trump picks Pence. What's the story?
No, I haven't made that decision yet. I'll make it today probably, or maybe tomorrow. But I'm going to announce it tomorrow at 11, Michael, and you'll be one of the people. Maybe you'll be there even. But I'll be announcing it in New York City tomorrow at about 11 o'clock.
Okay, very important that we hear this, because this is a big, big, big deal. Well, let's go on to other points, Mr. Trump, in the short time we have. Everyone is so thrilled that you came back to this show. And, you know, I'm an honest guy in the media. I kind of say it like I feel. I don't think as carefully as I should somehow. But the fact is, people were saying, hey, where's Donald Trump? Now that he's so popular, he won't come back. He's moved to the center. I said, no, just wait. He'll be back. He's true to his cause. So, again, I have to say, that's what they're saying now all over my Facebook. Thank God Trump is back. And, you know, yesterday you said you're going to build the wall. You confirmed that again, correct?
Oh, 100%. And it's a very popular. We put it in the platform. It's in the Republican platform. I don't know if you saw that, but that was sort of one of the things that I'm very proud of. We did something else for the evangelicals, which is going to be fantastic. We're going to get rid of this Johnson change that was made years ago, where it takes the power away from evangelicals and others of religion, and you'll see some things happening there that are going to be very good. We have some very good things put in the platform. One of the things put in, though, is the wall. And as far as being back to you, you've been so amazing to me, Michael. Of course I'd be back. I never heard anything. Otherwise, I would have called you five different times already.
You know what it is, Donald? Look, your campaign has gotten so big. You've got so many layers of people. I don't have the desire to trouble you, you know, with calls. But the fact of the matter is, it's a very interesting comment, is that I didn't think he was hearing any of the news about the Radio Hall of Fame, none of it, because they're not sending it up. In a certain way, chastise his staff with that comment. It's a strange thing. You actually chastise. He said, no, I didn't hear anything about that you even wanted me on, or I would have been on five times, right? He wasn't getting my requests. You like that one, huh? That's the way it is. People get disconnected from their... All right, so what do you want to talk about? Pence, Christie? Let's go to Christie. Michael, KLIF, you like Christie. Tell us why you hope he picks Christie tomorrow.
Michael, because I am tired of milquetoast dudes who are so politically correct that they don't get anything done. And I think Christie is the guy that's going to do what he has to do. And I want him to be next to Trump, because iron sharpens iron.
Okay, it's a good point, but I want to ask you something. Are you not at all troubled by Christie's kowtowing to Obama on that airport tarmac two years ago?
No, that doesn't bother me a bit. That was just a momentary thing, and we all have our moments, Michael.
Well, Christie's an open borders guy. You know that, don't you?
I understand it, but, you know, let him fight it out in the White House. That's okay. Iron sharpens iron. Have at it.
All right, Michael. Beautiful call out of Texas, KLIF. Great station. Right in Dallas, the heart of Dallas, the heartbroken Dallas, the heartbroken Dallas. How long was the memorial yesterday, Jim? A mile long? I didn't see it in the newspaper today for the dead officers. I didn't see one picture today of the 1 mile long procession, the funeral procession, the honor guard. Not one picture made it to the disgraceful Soviet press that we have. Shame on Jeff Zucker. He's a shanda to his relatives. Jeff Zucker is a shanda to his people and to his relatives, hiding the truth. Did you hear what CNN did? Thanks, Jeff. You would have been great working for Joseph Stalin. Headline, CNN loses feet as reporter critiques Hillary. That's what the communists used to do, is they pull the plug on loudspeakers of their opposition. They did it on college campuses when I was there. I know what they do. That's how they work at Cities of Hate. Speaking of Cities of Hate, there's a terrible, terrible thing going around, a picture that they've hidden again. 75-year-old man beaten unconscious in apparent random attack in Greenwich Village, New York. Now, he's a white man, and the beaters were not white. Let's put it to you that way. 75 years old, in front of his building on West 14th Street in the middle of the day, when a man punches him in the back of his head and then knocks him to the ground. The man then kicks him in the face, knocking him out. A woman stood by as a lookout as the beating took place. No one robbed the man. No words were exchanged. Now, if you want to see the man and you want to see the perpetrators, which violate Obama's narrative about what's going on in America, it's on... Well, it's on Drudge. It's on MichaelSavage.com. Originally, you could find it where it was, NBC New York. I don't think it'll make it somehow to the San Francisco Chronicle. 855-4... I keep saying the number. It is a tick. What's that illness when you keep repeating, like a nervous tick? I remember it's the number now in the middle of the night. I'm hearing the bumper music, and I'm repeating my own number. No, these are very tense times. People are cracking up. You know that. I'm still... I'm stronger, but I'm telling you, it's taking its toll on me. There are a lot of people are falling by the wayside during these troublesome times. I've told you this before. This campaign is it. This is the one, you know, the old phrase, separates the men from the boys. No. The tension of this campaign is such that people have cracked up already. Those who backed Cruz, even after, I mean, you're telling me that they didn't destroy themselves? They did. Now it gets even worse. There are those who support Trump who are now filing hateful comments on Twitter about Pence. I don't understand how they think they can come back from this. Before the ink is even dry on the announcement, they're going berserk, attacking Pence. And these are people who say they're Trump supporters. They're cracking up. What is the stress, the adrenaline, the all-nighters? People are losing it. They're losing their balance. Now, I'm going to say something right now. I read this important poem years ago, and I've read it on the air many times over my career. It goes like this. If you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. You know who wrote that? Rudyard Kipling. I read it to my children. Remember I put it on my show years ago in the early 90s. If you can keep your head when all those are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you will be a man, my son. Rudyard Kipling. I'll be back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. We have terrible, terrible breaking news. Bastille Day in France, celebration in Nice. A truck reportedly plowed into the crowd, killing at least 30. Not injuring someone. Well, I don't know what. Maybe it was a Tesla truck. Maybe the new media will report that it's a Tesla truck. No, I don't think it was a Tesla truck. Let's see, who was driving the truck that drove it into a crowd in East France, killing at least 30 people? Oh, wait a minute. It must have been a nun. A flying nun grabbed the wheel of the truck. No, it wasn't a nun. It wasn't a Tesla. Oh, wait a minute. It's coming out now. They're calling it a terror attack. So a Muzzy drove it. Car in, runs into the crowd watching a fireworks display. Crowd's running. 30, at least 30 dead. You hear this? And we're arguing over whether to bring in millions of Muslim men to America, and anyone who says otherwise is what? A sane human being? It's time to stand up. It is time to stand up and say my life matters. I'm not listening to you, you left-wing loser, you. You know, it's like the bikers stood up to the anarchists who were burning the flag, and they scared them, and they ran off. It is time for you to stand up to these left-wing fanatics, or we're all going to die. I'm telling you what has to happen. Every individual in this audience, I don't care if you're in a supermarket line, I don't care where you are, you have to do it quietly, you have to do it strongly. You have to say, my life matters. And here's why I don't want this, here's why I don't want that, here's why I do want the wall. Here's why I do want Donald Trump to stop the importation of Muslims until we can figure out who we're bringing in. Why is that bad? Why is it bad to say, we're building a wall? You mean you want Zika? You want tuberculosis? You want malaria? You want Chagas' disease? You want cholera? Is that what you want, you idiots, you? Because that's what you're getting. The country is melted down. We have to re-erect the borders. As I've said to you numerous times on the show, even if you only went to high school, you know that a cell is defined by a cell wall if it's a plant cell. It's defined by a cell membrane if it's an animal cell. Every organism, down to the smallest cell, is defined by a border. And anything that lacks a border lacks any identity or any cohesion whatsoever. Obama has literally unraveled the protein structure that protects us. He has literally destroyed America by erasing our border with Mexico. And now he wants to bring in 10,000 or was it 100,000 Muslims? Why? Why does he want to bring them in? What are they going to bring to the society that we don't have that we need? Tomorrow will be another day. They'll all be Pence all day. Thank you for listening. God bless America.